Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Crowd knows what's at stake. Number 300, Gerrit Cole becomes the third pitcher in Astros history to strike out 300 in a season.
I don't typically think about these things, but I did want to try to get it done tonight here in front of our fans. I mean, they've come out in large numbers all year, and there's so much fun to play in front of, and it was just a blessing to be able to get it done tonight.
Well, if there's so much fun to play in front of, may I interest you, Gerrit Cole, in this 7-year, $210 million contract? So you can stay here and pitch in front of them for the next 7 years. Sign right here. Press hard.
Pay the poor
fella. Keep your yellow copy.
Come on, Jim Crane.
That's right.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole, I'm always struck by the difference between his speaking voice and his on-the-mound persona.
Yeah.
He's so angry on the mound, and it's so much fun to watch that part of it. But then he gets off, and he's like, I'm the nicest guy in the world.
You know what he's got a little of in him, just in terms of the I don't know if inflection's the right word, just the way his voice sounds?
Kermit.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, which is Kermit.
Which is Kermit. Right. Yeah, which is Kermit. Like, Patrick Mahomes looks like a badass on the field. He's slinging the ball all over. And then they interview him after the game. He's like, yeah, pretty good game out there. I love ketchup on my steak. And
imagine him, too, because a lot of people were impressed with his wife last night. A lot of people hadn't seen his wife before. But they actually met at UCLA when she was a softball player, but they both worked out early together. Mm. So it was one of these gym romances.
Ah.
They were in the gym together over the course of a semester. And
a couple that does Pilates together stays together.
Eventually, that's what it turned into. They were probably doing power cleans and everything at the time, you know?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So Gerrit Cole gets his 300th strikeout last night, becoming only the third pitcher in Astros history. And I was surprised when they showed the graphic at the bottom of the screen that Nolan Ryan wasn't one of them. You just assume the greatest strikeout pitcher of all time, who pitched for a big chunk of the 80s here, would be one of them. But it was actually J.R. Richard and Mike Scott were the other two. Yeah, so J.R. Richard and Mike Scott. How are you doing, by the way, this morning, Seth?
I'm good. I'm good. I'll tell you what, this weather messes with my brain.
Really?
I'm in some kind of a funk. By my standards,
well, I feel like 3 hours and 58 minutes.
Right?
Left
no. My I'm still my funk is a hyper funk.
Oh, good.
Which is a good band name. Yeah. And so my hyper funk is still it's a little bit off. There, I swear it does something to me physiologically. This drizzly weather. I don't know how people in Seattle do it. I don't know how people in the Pacific Northwest or places where it's routinely drizzly make it through the day. It always strikes me as so weird that Kylie Wong, who's from Oregon, is so bubbly and effervescent.
Well, that's because he's out of there now.
That's true, but I think he was like that back when.
Do you think so?
I think back when everybody was wearing flannel and they were full into their depressed grunge state, Kylie was like, hey, what's this Nirvana all about?
That guy's never had a bad day ever, Kylie Wong.
Smells like teen spirit. Groovy.
Hip, hip, hooray.
I like spirit.
I actually like when it rains out like this because it gives me an excuse. See, I like to be lazy and sit in front of the TV for most of the day, whether it's a Saturday watching college football or whether it's getting home from doing the show with you and popping on three episodes of 90210. I like doing that regardless of what the weather is outside. So when it rains outside, it makes it much easier for me to rationalize my sluggish, slothful behavior.
I like it when it's cold and rainy because then it really feels like you should be snuggled up on the couch. When it's hot and rainy, I just feel like I'm waiting for the Viet Cong to come. I'm in my hooch. And it's just a matter of time before the enemy gets me.
There's something happening in here.
Just sitting there smoking
in
my hooch.
Exactly clear.
Thinking about my enemies coming to get me.
I don't know if this happens at your house, but for whatever reason, when it's humid outside, the front the front porch of my house turns into like an exhibit at the Houston Zoo.
Yeah.
I walk out this morning, there's a little frog hopping there. There's this family of geckos that's living in one of our bushes
yeah.
that when I walk out, it's like they've been partying. And when I walk out there, they scatter like the toys on Toy Story. It's unbelievable. Geckos, with the rain the last few days, some night crawlers, there's worms waiting for me every day when I get home.
You get a little bit of a respite from the spiders. That's nice. I like that whenever the time, this was the month too where I started to crack where, okay, how many mornings in a row am I going to walk into a spider web on my way to my car?
That's true.
Can I get one brief, oh, I'm not going to get bit by a brown recluse today.
So are you a bigger fan of the slimy creatures that seemingly have some brain about them, or are you a bigger fan of the, of in terms of what you'd, I don't like having any of them on my front porch.
Them, yeah.
Right, I guess are you.
What's the least evil?
Yes.
I guess, gosh, I really don't like, I'm kind of squeamish about all that stuff. I don't mind insects as much except for spiders.
You can just step on them. You know
yeah,
what I mean? And
yeah.
there's really no there's no connection. I feel like when there's a creature and you can see their eyes,
yeah.
there is a connection. Like this poor little gecko running around. I'm like, boy, I'd rather not have you running around because eventually you're going to run inside my house if I open
yeah.
the door. But boy, you're just so cute and you do those insurance commercials and I really feel like I connect with you with your British accent and everything. I don't like them as much, and the spiders are easier to kill. That's where I come out on that.
We're rapidly outnumbering all of them, so
yeah,
we've invented enough chemicals now that they're struggling.
That's true. We've got the weapons.
I guess humans are by far the most, like pound for pound, we're the greatest species on the planet.
Hell yeah, we
are. Man with the biggest mammal. I never really thought of it that way. I assumed there'd be some other mammal out there that there'd be way more of, but no, there's...
They haven't shown themselves. There's billions
of us, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're the best. We're amazing. As are the Astros. Amazing.
That's the best group of mammals in baseball
the Astros
right
are the
now.
Humans of baseball.
The best mammals in baseball by a game right now,
yes.
or in the AL, are the Astros. So that's what you care about right now is they've got two more games. Well, 102 is the magic number for winning the division. If they win tonight and the A's were to lose to the Rangers, then they would clinch the division.
Yeah.
And other than that, you're one game ahead of the Yankees. You're trying to outpace them.
The Yankees and the Dodgers, I believe, they're one game ahead of as well. So
100 wins, that used to seem, if you told me 5 years ago that, hey, the Astros are going to reel off three straight 100-win seasons.
Yeah.
I would have kicked you in the groin and called you silly.
Especially, that doesn't seem like a proportional punishment.
You're silly.
You know what I'm feeling right now in 2014 is the Astros are going to have three straight seasons of 100 wins. Wow!
You're a silly pants.
Why did you do that?
Karate chop. Ha! Kung fu punch.
Why did you do that? Especially if you had told me, Seth, that only five teams in history... Prior to the Astros winning game number 100 last night, that only five teams in the history of baseball had done that, won 100 games in three straight seasons.
Were two of those back in 1904 they don't even exist anymore?
Yeah, there's like a couple that were before the Industrial Revolution,
yeah.
and that maybe not that far back, but the Philadelphia A's of the, yeah, the Philadelphia A's. Of
is that the same as the Oakland A's?
It's the same lineage.
It is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The Philadelphia A's of the late 20s, I believe the Connie Mack managed. Jonesy's a Philadelphia guy. Were you a big Philadelphia A's guy back in 1929,
oh, yeah.
Jonesy?
Have you ever had a throwback Philadelphia A's T-shirt or anything?
We could really get
you one. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. That's something. Yeah.
Before they went to San Francisco and turned to drugged out hippies like they did.
That's right.
That's the genesis of that. The drums and all that stuff too was back in the Haight-Ashbury days. Just the owners
at the A's game.
Yeah, we're going to embrace the counterculture. Yeah.
So the St. Louis Cardinals in the mid-40s did it. And then the Baltimore Orioles of the late 60s, or 69, 70, 71.
You know the Cardinals cheated the way to that.
Of course
they did. They were like intercepting. They were intercepting telegrams.
Morse
and
code.
Whatnot.
Yeah. They had Jeff Luno's great grandfather's Morse code password.
They intercepted to carrier pigeons.
That's right. So the two teams that I think are relevant in this are the two that have done it since the divisional round of the playoffs became a thing.
Yep.
Back in the mid 90s. The Atlanta Braves of 97, 98, 99, Astro fans know them well because a couple of those years they went through the Astros to move on in the postseason. They did it, and then the Yankees of 02, 03, 04. What those two teams six seasons have in common, none of them ended in a World Series championship. So already the Astros, by winning the World Series in 2017, Seth Payne, have accomplished more than their predecessors who did it in this era of baseball.
All the pressure's off. You're already there. If you pull it off twice,
why even show up for the rest of the year?
The only thing, see, I guess maybe I'm too negatively inclined because of this weather. Because I hear that stat and it reminds me, oh yeah, just having an awesome record and a lot of times being the best, having the best record in baseball more times than not doesn't mean you win the World Series.
Especially the more rounds you've got to go through to get there, right?
I think if you step back and look at the difference between the Astros this year compared to last year. Last year, Carlos Correa was reeling from his back injury. Now, I guess, I hope he's not reeling. We've seen one spell of him since he came back.
Right.
But hopefully you'd think he's healthier than he was last year this time. Altuve had a broken kneecap that we didn't know about. Lance McCullers had a partially torn UCL in his elbow that we didn't know about. Two damn key performers right there, obviously. And you had a couple other injury issues where right now, unless I missed something from last night, there are no position players on the injured list.
No,
and you've got Peacock and Presley coming back. Unfortunately, Colin McHugh is done, but you got Peacock and Presley coming back. Presley's the one you feel. I guess Peacock will throw a session tonight. Presley by all accounts looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, Presley, if you get in the postseason what Presley has become for the Astros, you get a healthy, then you know what you're getting. He's your setup guy to your closer Osuna. I think where Peacock comes into play is, look, it's a long postseason, and the further you get into the postseason, the more likely it is, quite frankly, that you're going to have a performance from Verlander or Cole or certainly Greinke, where these guys are just not going to make it through the fourth, the third or fourth inning.
Right.
And that's where Peacock becomes really important. He's the bridge.
He's a huge wild card. He's the guy that you look at and say, wow, he might end up, we have no idea when it'll be, but he might be an integral part to winning a World Series.
As he was in 2017 at times.
You could think back 20 years from now and, oh yeah, remember in the ALCS when Peacock came in and pitched the last four innings or something like that.
I'll put it this way. Which pitching performances in the World Series 2 years ago, if you were to walk up to the average Astro fan and say, what was the most memorable pitching performance of the World Series in 2017? They would say Charlie Morton in Game 7. Yeah. And probably, I can't remember,
McCullers 24 straight curves.
I think that was against the Yankees, though.
I thought you meant through the whole playoffs.
Yeah, no, okay. I was saying in the World Series, because the point I was going to make is that the Astros won the World Series in 2017. And Verlander and Keuchel, their two aces that year, didn't win a game in the World Series. They won four games as a team in that World Series, and they got zero wins out of their aces. How did they do that?
Yeah.
Well, because A.J. Hinch, one, made the decision just to stick Ken Giles in the corner and not touch him anymore. But two, Hinch did a masterful job of juggling what he had left in that bullpen, whether it was Morton coming in long relief. McCullers still did pitch. He started game seven in that World Series.
And wasn't feeling great, by the way.
Right.
He said, like, right.
He was beating guys early in the game, partly
by design. McCullers came into that game and he wasn't feeling right.
Yeah.
His arm didn't feel good. And I think he figured, at least if I'm going to leave a mark on this game, I'm going to get these guys a little bit nervous.
Right. Yeah. So look, I've been pounding the drum as much as anybody that, hey, it's Verlander and Cole, and to a lesser extent, Greinke. Nobody else in baseball has this. Although Washington's got a pretty nice threesome at the top of their rotation if they can win the wild card game. But nobody in the American League has what the Astros do at the top of the rotation. However, these things don't always go as planned, and there will be an outing. Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole are not just going to tear through the American League in the playoffs or whoever they get to the World Series. They're not going to just go out there and throw seven innings of one run, 12 strikeout ball every night when you're not playing the Rangers and the Blue Jays and the Orioles anymore.
Do you do this? For some reason in my mind, whenever I think of pitching struggles, I forget that the Astros have the lineup they do. Completely forget the other side of the ball. And I think that's just, that's your tendency to think worst case scenario. Yes. The bullpen especially has the capacity to really let you down at times, but then the lineup also has the capacity to lift you back up. It's just you've been through the playoffs, and you realize, okay, versus really good teams, it's not as simple as, oh, the Astros will just score 10 runs.
Right.
I would like, this is what I think about last night. Mm. All right. You leave the bases loaded a couple times. No big deal, right? I'd like to see them do better with runners in scoring position, but I felt like nights like last night are just loading up for like the pendulum swinging back the other way.
You're believing in the regression to the mean.
Yeah, I almost kind of. I know, and I don't
save stats, some of these.
I know stats don't actually work this way, except I want to believe they do. Mm-hmm. Over the next 10 games, I'd love for them to leave the bases loaded multiple times, because then in my mind it's just like, oh, they're due.
The gods owe us at least 20 base hits with the bases.
Yes,
loaded.
Exactly. Yeah. So during the playoffs, it'll all come back in droves.
There you go. There you go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So Jalen Ramsey is a
happy?
He's not happy with his current employer. I would imagine I would hope that he leads a happy life.
Seems like a pretty upbeat guy.
Yeah, makes more money than the average American.
And, even when he's talking smack, he is almost doing it in a laid-back way.
Got a little smile on his face.
He does it a little bit like an assassin. Mm. You know, like an assassin isn't going to get overly worked up about killing you.
Right.
They tend to be those cold-blooded, heart rate doesn't rise types, and I think that's what Jalen Ramsey
seems
like.
That's what you see in Jalen Ramsey, yeah. So Jalen Ramsey, apparently, from reports, is going to play tonight. Which the Jags play the Titans. I would imagine that's a game Texan fans, if other than the Texans game, probably have the most keen interest in, because it involves two of the teams in the AFC South. But reportedly, he is going to play tonight. I guess, is that a tell, Seth, that they have no intentions of accommodating Jalen Ramsey in his trade request? They would actually play him in a game?
There are a lot of people that expect there to be a trade on Friday. So usually if that were to happen, they wouldn't play him on Thursday.
Correct.
Because if he gets hurt, then all of a sudden trade goes bye-bye. So I don't know, because I don't know if the Jaguars at this point can be trusted to do things the way you would expect them to do them. So I hesitate to read into it, because I almost feel like Doug Marrone...
Because they might be incompetent?
Yes, there's a good chance that they might be. Doug, I can't let it go ever since, for one, that they chose to Blake Bortles over Pat Mahomes, which that's easier to go back and say... It's easy to go back and say, well, did you know Pat Mahomes is going to be as good as he is? Of course not. You didn't know that. But you also knew by that point that Blake Bortles wasn't going to be anything.
Yeah.
And they ended up extending Blake Bortles that year. So that alone makes you wonder what the hell's going on with the Jaguars.
And throw Deshaun Watson in there, too, because Deshaun
that's right.
went two picks later. They could have had either one of those guys.
They could have had Mitch up there, Trubisky, too.
They would have had to move up to get him. He went second.
If they wanted to trade up for Mitch, I wouldn't have put it past them.
They could have. And they could have had Lamar Jackson the following season. I think people were shocked when they took Taven Bryan at 29 instead of Lamar Jackson, who went three picks later to Baltimore.
It's the important thing to remember with the Jaguars. It's not just that they took a running back and Leonard Fournette over quarterbacks. They also chose Blake Bortles over those quarterbacks.
Yes.
They drafted a running back and they chose to extend Blake Bortles over Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
It's not like they hoyered it for a couple of years.
Right.
Like the Texans in 2014, there were some people that wanted them to take a quarterback because Schaub was terrible and they were 2-14 and everybody knew they needed a new quarterback.
Right.
But they took Clowney and they said, we're going to piece it together until a quarterback comes along that we think we like. Now they really waited a while to go get that guy, and ultimately they land Deshaun Watson. But your point is a good one. Like, it's not only that they passed on these guys, but it's that they gave a ringing endorsement via a big pile of cash to horrible Blake Bortles.
So that's my really long way of saying I'm not going to read into anything. If Jalen Ramsey plays
tonight,
he might get traded after the game.
Yeah.
It might be one of these baseball-style trades where right beforehand, all of a sudden, the Titans trade for Jalen Ramsey and he just walks over to the other clubhouse.
That's happened in baseball before.
Yeah, it's happened with the Astros.
I was at a doubleheader one time.
Oh, it happened at a doubleheader.
It involved the Phillies, Jonesy, actually. I was at a doubleheader between the Mets and the Phillies in 1979. Go look it up. This trade happened the same day Thurman Munson died in a plane crash. Because I remember them showing that on the... I know it's a really uplifting thing at 6:24 in the morning, but this is what I remember as a kid. I was 10 years old. They traded Jose Cardenal. I forget which team he went to and which... But the Mets and the Phillies traded a player in between games of a doubleheader, and dude walked over to the other clubhouse and put his new uniform on.
Yeah.
Baseball, man.
It happened with the Astros a few years ago. I want to say it was with the Orioles or the Nationals, one of those East Coast teams. They traded a player right before right before the game.
And you save on moving and living expenses that way.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of a pain in the butt, though, because it's not like the player necessarily anticipates that.
No, you're just like, you got to get your stuff shipped.
You guys could have told me that.
You could pack up my things.
Put some stuff in the stowage underneath.
Yeah. Right, I wouldn't have talked trash to my new teammates during the game. So Jalen Ramsey will definitely be a storyline tonight as that game takes place. In Jacksonville, by the way. Jacksonville, a small underdog to the visiting Titans tonight. This is what I teased into this segment here about Deshaun Watson, because I want to read into things. I like to think that the Texans are a team that if they're not going to win a Super Bowl, then I just want them to be super interesting and go star hoarding and chase all these star players and turn Houston into this, you know, just a gigantic, notorious team, if not a good team on the field. Marcellus Wiley of Fox Sports on Speak for Yourself.
Yeah. He had a weird take.
And here is his weird Jalen Ramsey take. He's basically saying that this is talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Chiefs are rumored to be the favorite to land Jalen Ramsey. Marcellus Wiley said, if I'm the Chiefs, I don't trade for Ramsey.
Rolling the dice and saying, no, let's poach our team of a first-round pick and a starter to bring in Jalen Ramsey, who, I remind you, despite the perception and the love for his game, he was 24th ranked as a cornerback last year, coming out of the season. This year, in 2 weeks, he's already dropped to 89th ranked. So if his trajectory is going south and your team's trajectory is going north, why is this a conversation?
Okay, no,
that's
Marcellus.
That's an Ivy leaguer right there, Seth.
He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and there's no debate about that.
Marcellus Wiley is an Ivy leaguer. You just told me he's 89th.
Did he even, for one, stop saying that about the Ivy League. I've told you before, like, how many idiots there are in the Ivy League. Don't even, you get good SAT scores, you have a good GPA in high school, and then off
I'm allowed
to
say it because I cut checks to the Ivy League.
Okay, all right.
Once a month.
No, there's plenty of brilliant people, I'm saying, but the problem that they run into is that they think that they're smart in all aspects of life.
Right.
Look, I got into an Ivy League school because I was a good football player. All right, and there's other people that are likewise in the same boat. So I don't. Is he talking about Pro Football Focus grades?
He must be.
People, you got to stop using those grades. You just have to. I really like Pro Football Focus for some of the things they do. The grades are absolute bunk. Think about this.
Bunk.
No, they are. They grade them off of television. Think about what they're doing. They're grading defensive backs off of the television copy.
Where you can't even see them.
You can't see them. How are you doing that? You can't see them. You don't know what the hell's going on. Like, there's times where they're getting beat, but the ball doesn't come their way. There's times where you don't know what the coverage is, so it looks like they're wrong.
He's the 89th ranked corner within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Marcellus, he's the 89th ranked corner that some teams are thinking about trading a first round pick for.
Multiple,
so
maybe.
So apparently, like, he shouldn't even be worth a 7th round pick in that case.
So this showed up on a tweet. Fox Sports tweeted out this horrific Marcellus Wiley take. Deshaun Watson retweets it, and Deshaun Watson does not put a lot of opinions out on Twitter.
Yeah.
He is not he's big into, you know, tweeting out some of the swag that he wears or retweeting some of the things the Texans put out there. He loved tweeting out him throwing a no-look pass in warm-ups of a game. Little things like that don't ruffle a lot of feathers or anything. Yeah. He retweeted that Marcellus Wiley take and said, I don't think I agree with this.
Yeah. Well, that's
effort.
He couched it a little bit. He said, I don't think I agree with this.
Yeah, but that's
Deshaun, that's an opinion. Deshaun came off one of his worst games in the last couple years. Yeah. That was because, what were DeAndre's numbers in this last game?
4 catches for 40 yards.
Right. Yeah. You know, it was a pretty pedestrian day for DeAndre Hopkins, and Jalen Ramsey wasn't on him every snap, but he was on him for a lot.
Yeah.
And that's just the other one of this. I'll tell you this. One of the problems I have with some of these grades from some of the services like that is they don't take into account degree of difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll say Donald Penn was classic a few years ago for the Raiders. The Raiders were using 6 offensive linemen a whole lot. They were using tight ends to help out a whole lot. So their offensive tackles weren't put in tough positions, so they rarely failed. And you end up getting Donald Penn ranked as this incredibly dominant offensive lineman. He was good enough, but he wasn't the best offensive lineman in the league. Meanwhile, guys that get put on an island and have to go out there and do it on their own every single snap, they're going to have a few more rough snaps than somebody that never actually gets challenged. And then people will bring these grades up and say, oh, well, this guy's clearly better than this guy. No, and the same thing goes with cornerbacks. There's a degree of difficulty involved. and the grades don't show it.
So you're saying Jalen Ramsey's better than the 89th best cornerback in football?
You go ahead and ask DeAndre Hopkins if Jalen Ramsey is the 89th best cornerback
in football.
Deshaun
Watson, who doesn't agree with that
take.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. So is this Deshaun Watson's recruiting effort to try to get Jalen Ramsey here?
I don't know. If anything, I think that's Deshaun Watson kind of being humble and saying, look, I had a bad game last week.
Yeah.
You're going to sit here and tell me that I just had that game versus the 89th ranked cornerback? No. He's really good.
Yeah, so it's a little self-serving is what you're saying. I got you. Southwest, CPK, Publix, Avon, Clemson, Cubs, Rangers, Rams, and Heat.
Oh, okay.
So this is a guy who, he's an Easterby type. He's a motivational guy who's in at a 45-degree angle with several professional sports teams.
Yeah.
Here's the tweet. Do you want to see if this ties to Taco Charlton in some way?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Okay. Success is often measured by comparison to others.
Hmm.
Excellence, on the other hand, is all about being the best we can be and maximizing our gifts, talents, and abilities to perform at our highest potential. Pursue excellence today.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't tell me anything. How do you measure excellence?
You measure it against yourself, Seth.
Okay.
You try to get 1% better every day. What type of you were you yesterday? Well, today you need to be 1% better than
I understand what he's going for there. I always wonder about that, though, too, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're always going to measure yourself against others if you're in a competitive field.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it's impossible to be excellent in football and have a 2-14 record.
Right.
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 So the measuring's like... I guess this is mostly a focus on the process thing. This is turn your attention inward and focus on what you need to focus on instead of worrying about the others, and don't worry too much about the competition.
Tell that to every guy that gets cut at the back end of the Texans roster. Somewhere Aaron Colvin has 7 days worth of scruff on his face, a drink in his hand, and he's throwing it at his computer screen that Easterby retweet. No, I know he's on the Redskins
But he's
on a terrible team, and he was on a decent team.
Well, he didn't measure up excellence as well within himself as he needed to.
That is true. He didn't measure up to any standard, whether it's himself or whatever the next best safety was on that corner.
I'm going to be honest with you there. That's not the best quote. That's not nearly one of the better quotes that Easterby has retweeted. I think that's just he's stroking a buddy there. I think he's just, he probably knows this Gordon fella.
Okay.
That one doesn't, a lot of Easterby's quotes get me going. That one doesn't get me going.
Okay. He retweeted, I'm trying to find something that gets you back in the good graces or gets Easterby back in your good graces.
Yeah.
He retweets Brandon Cooks a lot.
Oh, really?
The wide receiver.
He has a relationship with him from the Patriots.
They were in New England together, but he retweeted Brandon Cooks 21 hours ago.
Yeah.
Stay focused.
Okay, that's true.
That's all.
Everybody stay focused.
Stay focused.
Yep.
What is so great about Brandon Cooks tweeting stay focused? There's probably 500,000 people. Yeah, I know. Big deal. So that really inspires me that Brandon Cooks said to stay focused.
You know what I would tell Jack Easterby? I know he's not measuring himself against other people, but I feel like his timeline on Twitter needs to be more motivational than it is. I look through it and I see more of an archive to just archived random retweets where he's just going through and like, oh, this guy's a buddy of mine. I'll retweet him.
He retweets Buzz Williams a lot too, the basketball coach for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
This was retweeted 23 hours ago. Preparation should be your separation.
Ooh. Snap.
Some of these people are so lame. God. Preparation.
No, let me tell you what you need. Let me tell you what you need to do with motivational speakers. You need to pick one or two. Because the problem is when you start to peruse all of them, it gets to be a little bit overwhelming. And what you start to realize too is that they all touch on the same themes.
Yeah.
Over and over again, you see, oh, this is a book I can read in 2 hours, and it's telling me the exact same thing that it said in this other book. Some people, you got to find who actually... Okay, turn this music off.
There goes my motivation.
You got to find somebody that actually tweaks you the right way, and then stick with that person.
Okay.
Reread the book. It can become your self-help Bible. Right. Reread that book 10 times instead of reading 10 different books. All just starts to meld together.
Do you have any particular motivational people that move your needle?
Currently, the one that I'm reading for the third time is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep.
Oh, you and Brennan Scarlett.
Yeah, I really like that one. And he's not saying anything I haven't read before in various other books. It's just that it speaks to me. I enjoy the read, and it's good little reminders for life. So I read that one. And I'll read that like 2 or 3 more times, and then I'll move on to something else.
Here's another Buzz Williams retweet from 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Everyone communicates. Few connect.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad advice for radio hosts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, you want to connect with
We just don't want to be blathering into a microphone. We want to say things that, that relate to our audience.
Plus, that's wrong, though, too. Again, this is the other thing. The issue I have a lot of self-help books as I read through them is that my BS meter gets really high.
Yeah.
And they'll tell historical stories that are just inaccurate. Like this one, even in The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep, there's a couple in there. He's telling the story about the original drummer for the Beatles, Pete Best.
Yeah.
And he gets it all wrong. It's completely wrong. He acts like Best was this awesome drummer or something.
He was not.
Which he wasn't. Like, the reason he wasn't on the Beatles was because he actually wasn't, he wasn't nearly the drummer that Ringo Starr is.
That's right.
But he kind of, they changed the story to fit the motivational message, and that drives me crazy, but you just that comes with the territory. So this guy, what was that recent one you just read, or the most recent one?
I got to pull it back up.
Everybody communicates.
Many communicate, few connect.
No. You're saying many try to communicate. Yeah. If you're not communicating properly, then you're not getting a connection.
The Brandon Cooks thing. I need to know. Like, if I ever got, it would be weird if we ever got an interview with Jack Easterby. My first connection would be, what is it about Brandon Cooks that makes you retweet things that he says that I feel like a million people said on Twitter that day?
Well, because
like,
you may as well
be retweeting Brandon Cook saying rise and grind. I know, but it's not anything incredibly profound.
You. It's not anything interesting.
Yeah. Stay focused.
Go hard today. Yeah. It's you know what it would be, I would say? I would guess that Easterby's going to cite some psychological study that you've seen from 20 other people about how you need to have 5 or 6 positive reinforcements for every negative reinforcement.
Okay.
To counteract a criticism or something like that, and to keep a positive attitude moving forward.
Well, I'm gonna
You just need to keep seeing. Yeah. You just need to keep feeding your brain with all this positivity.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you
not you. Don't not you, Sean.
No.
No. Too much positivity is bad for radio.
Hypothetical you. I get it. No, if that's his answer, unsatisfactory. I need a story about Brandon Cooks.
You know,
if he can tell me that Brandon Cooks, through his focus, overcame things like being the oldest of 10 children that he's had to support.
Yeah.
You know, that his parents were on drugs, that he was on drugs at one point and had to overcome.
He had to overcome
something along the way, that his staying focused is better than everybody else. It's the staying focusedest of all the staying focused, and I'm cool with it.
But he was a disappointment in New Orleans, and I think he's become much more than a disappointment. So I think his overall story is probably a good one. This is Brandon Cooks. This is the guy that and now this is the important thing in the motivational speaker biz. You got to subtly tie yourself to it. What was the difference? Oh, he went from New Orleans to New England, where he worked with
Jack Easterby.
And now he's a beacon for positivity and everything.
Easterby dust sprinkled on him.
You subtly mention, you know, in your next job interview when you're trying to leapfrog to your next team and become the GM and Pope and overlord of everything. So there's this guy, Brandon Cooks. I mean, take Brandon, for example. He came to us. He was largely a disappointment in New Orleans. He met me, and now look at him.
Look at him. Yeah. He's an Easter believer. That's what he is.
He's part of a non-touchdown producing effort in the Super Bowl.
That's right. They almost got more than a field goal in the Super Bowl because of their razor-sharp level of focus. All right,
we're going to auction off some tickets to sit at the table with Landry and me at this at Wade Smith's poker event tomorrow night.
Oh, cool.
Bulls and Blackjack, too. It's all for charity, so you'll be able to write it off. We're going to do this in the next hour.
Okay.
You'll be in the VIP lounge and everything.
That's awesome.
Kicking all right. It. Yeah.
So be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. It's going to be a cool event. Great guest list, bullsandblackjack.com. We'll do that in the next hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.